This is the unconditional love tape that we send out to all of those of you who are partnering with us in this ministry. This is for the month of March 2023. It's been a very, very hectic time for us since the last time we talked to you, which is very good because those years when we were locked in with COVID, nothing much happened in terms of travel. But things have changed, and we have been busy in these last weeks. One thing that has stood out to us as we've traveled, it didn't matter where we were, people were coming to us to share what this message of the unconditional love of God coming to us in and through Jesus, what is done in their lives. I suppose it's somehow connected with, you know, having my 70th anniversary in ministry there at the last retreat. I think that sort of stirred people up. But for whatever reason, they have come and they have shared. And it has been something, I use the word overwhelming. I never dreamt that so many people had been so radically not only changed but transformed by this message of God's love. And for those of you who have come to share that, thank you for doing so. It is something that I needed to hear. And also for those of you that write letters that contain it, there are too many for us to make a response, but believe me, every letter you write is read by us.
Yes, beautiful letters.
Yeah, and Cheryl goes to the post office every morning to pick up the mail, so this doesn't have to go through the office. It comes directly to our hands.
Yes.
And we sit at the kitchen table and read them, and thank you. It has been a tremendous blessing, encouragement, to me and to Cheryl, who is reading what you have been doing with your gifts in these last months and years. And speaking of Cheryl, this weekend, that will be April the 1st, is Cheryl's 40th anniversary in ministry. While I was facing witch doctors and wild animals in jungles, in other parts of the world, Cheryl was in prisons and jails facing human wild people. And it's been a long time that she has been ministering to these broken, the most lonely of people, and doing so with tremendous success.
Yes.
Now, I use the term prison and jail as if they're the same thing. I've been educated, it's not the same thing.
It's not.
And it was for 10 years that Cheryl was the chaplain of the Harris County Jail in Houston.
Third largest jail in the nation.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she was not simply going from cell to cell, but she was assigned death row. And almost
death row is in the prisons, though, darling.
Okay. See, I need education, but almost all of the woman killers that you've read about in the newspaper, Cheryl was with them from the time they came into the prison, and has unbelievable stories of the grace of God. Tell us.
Well, I just want to say that the prisons and jails, it's just all of them together, just knowing women that I have met over the years and how the love of God has overflowed in my heart, and that God sent me into the prisons directly after coming to Christ, March 17th of 83. And I started going in with Bell Glass Ministries to prisons in the different states. But I did get to Houston in 1988, and I was working for Chanel as a makeup artist and a skincare specialist, but I was volunteering one day a week, and I had encounters with these women, and I was asked a year later to become the staff chaplain. And so my full-time ministry started on April Fool's Day, which I think, you know, I'm a fool for Christ, but it has been such a calling on my life to share my experience and how Christ restored my life. And anyway, I could go on and on, but our spiritual son this weekend, while we were in Oklahoma, he was traveling with us and he saw this book in a library, and it's called Invisible Eve. And Yosef is the famous photographer, but you can look at it on InvisibleEve.com. And it is such a picture of where these different women come from and their stories. And so I hope you'll take a look at that.
The women in jail.
Yeah, the women in prison and jails. But, you know, they had pictures of mothers and daughters in prison together, and children visiting their mothers in prison. But unique stories, and it just touched my heart because all of us have a story, and some of these women came up in neglect, rejection, you know, being bruised, but they find Jesus in the prison, and the Lord just pours out his spirit on them, and their lives are changed. So enough of me, and back to our story. We're out on the porch, recovering from all of our travels.
Yes. It occurred to me, you know, if you add the years of ministry, Cheryl's added to mine, we have 110 years of ministry between us. And we're giving that to you every time we open our mouth, every time we travel, and especially as we travel, Cheryl has great opportunity to minister, especially to the women. And that just occurred. I'll throw it out. It's not in the notes, but anyway, we're traveling this year, and I want to speak about some of it. Others will wait until the summer to really talk about it. But the first is module one. Now, I think most of you are familiar with what we do in our Bible school. There are seven modules, some months apart, so you can soak up what has been said in the previous module. Well, the cycle that we're presently on, at the end of April, it is module six. And I'm not talking about that because anyone who's come into module six has been through modules one through five. So that's, they know about that. But for everyone else, May the 26th through 27, we are restarting a new cycle. And so it will be module one all over again. Only it's never all over again, because I rewrite every module because there's a lot of time that has passed since the last module one. And so in that time, I have had revelation, I've seen and received insights that I want to include. And so it's never same old, same old. And module one is, of all the modules, it's different. Because in module one, we not only start, but we include, we fly low over the whole modules. We see where we're going. And it has, in time past, especially this last module one, it's had a tremendous effect upon the students. It goes in a different way to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because maybe it shows where we're going. but also some of the information is so life-changing. And the last one we had, it became almost a revival meeting. People were weeping and laughing and clapping and standing, just as the insight, the Holy Spirit opening our eyes, just poured over us. And I can't wait to see how this upcoming Module 1 will be. And so not everybody that goes to Module 1 continues. For some people, that's it, they've got it, they've got the picture. And then a percentage go on to Module 2, 3, 4, and so on. And so if you want to be there for the great Module 1, May 26th, 27th, it is time to let us know. There's space right now, but I know how these things go.
And it's Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, it's Memorial Day weekend, which means Bandera is going to be full of people who come to look at the Cowboys. that's about it. There's not much else here, but they come. And so hotels tend to get full very quickly, as well as all the bed and breakfast places out on the ranches. And so if you're going to come, you need to call and get advice as to where you come to stay. Of course, if you're on Zoom, that's an entirely different matter. You can be with us from your own house. But please take this very seriously. This is Module 1, May 26 through 27, and I'm urging you to be there. And of course, if you come to Bandera physically, as opposed to being on Zoom, then we have that chance to meet each other and sometimes have lunch together. And, well, you know what happens. Between the meetings where Zoom is off, we are very much still on in just visiting and face-to-face. Okay, that's in May. But then in June the 9th through the 11th, we will be in Virginia. Now, this isn't the, Washington end of Virginia. This is right the other end, down in the mountains and valleys of that part of Virginia as you come up to Tennessee. And it will be in the town of Cedar Bluff. I'm telling you this because it's coming up close, and if you can get there, you need to know right away. And so I'm giving all the information. It's Cedar Bluff, and the zip there is Virginia 24609. And if you are going and you need, you know, how to get there and where to stay or whatever, I'm going to give you the phone number. The pastor is Jim Moore, and he's at 276-220-1014. And he will be there to answer all of your questions. It's a great little church. They have an actual sort of once-in-a-lifetime history. The churches in that entire area are very legalistic, very legalistic. And Jim stood up one day and said, "I've seen the grace of God and I'm leaving." Well, that had happened before, but he did something no one had ever done before, which had the blessed audacity to open a church, a grace-focused church. And right there in the middle of all the legalism, he's the only church that is declaring the grace and the love of God with tremendous excitement, because he has come to that position through great persecution. Mm-hmm. So we will be there June 9th through 11th. Okay, then, and we've got no information on this, or at least it's not worth putting it out so early, but September the 8th through the 10th, we will be, both of us, in South Dakota at Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and we'll have meetings there. And we go straight on to September 15th through 17th to Grand Rapids. We were there last year and had a wonderful time. And we're going back And those of you who joined us there will, I'm sure, be back again. Then October the 8th through the 10th, we will be on a retreat, a little different to ours, and I'm not arranging this. We are invited to speak there, but it's a retreat at the oldest retreat house in the USA. And it's down by Long Island Sound, or at least an hour away from it. And it's in Connecticut. And so that is a must for you Eastern folk. And then our own retreat in December, the first weekend of December. I can give you the title. The title is More Than You Can Imagine. And well, I'm leaving it at that because I'm not going to say book now, but be very aware, first weekend of December, our own retreat. And it will be in San Antonio at the same place, the Hilton Hotel there. And yeah, I was going to say that so many of you last time who are sort of regulars, you didn't register until you usually do, which is very close to the time, and found out that all the newbies, those that have discovered us in the last year or two, they'd already booked, like people usually do, and so there was no room for you. That was very sad, but make sure this year you get your booking in time. Okay, all of this, and let me say that we are able to do it because of your offerings. Thank you. I know we say this every time, but we absolutely mean it, that we could do none of this. You are investing in the proclamation of the love of God, and there are thousands who will rise up in that day to thank you to make all of this possible. And so we are able to do it because of you and your offerings. I want to speak briefly something that is of, well, not only importance, I'd say vital importance. I've spoken of it before, but it rose up and it gripped me in these last days. It's in Matthew's Gospel two times, Matthew 26, verse 32, and then in chapter 28, verse 7. And what it is, Jesus said, after the resurrection, he said to the disciples, that I go before you into Galilee, and you will meet me there, into Galilee. Now, that sounds very blah. So he said he would meet them in Galilee. But that is both shocking, and I mean shocking to the point of scandalous, and almost leaves you speechless as to really say what's going on. It was an urgent appointment. He was telling them twice that he would go before them into the Galilee and he would meet them there. Okay, what's the big deal? Well, Galilee. Galilee was the northernmost part of Israel. It was approximately 70 miles, sort of would take you from the middle of the Galilee into Jerusalem. If you have been to Israel, you know the Galilee. The whole area is defined by Lake Galilee, that sort of inland sea. And the whole area around it is the Galilee. The Galilee, well, it was where Jesus had spent so much of his time. In fact, the disciples, for the most part, were connected to the Galilee. And so Galilee was a place of their friends. It was family, business associates. It was the place of farmers, fisherfolk, and disciples were involved in that. James and John and Peter and Andrew, they were business associates in fishing. And of course, along with the fishing were all the people who sold the fish in the open market, peasants, which meant they were uneducated. They got a country accent. So when they showed up in Jerusalem, they were sort of sneered at a little bit, laughed at, because of their accent. Do you remember when Peter was denying Jesus? The girl who had accosted him said, "Your speech betrays you. We know where you come from. Same place as he comes, the Galilee." It would be as if someone from Mississippi showed up on Fifth Avenue in New York, and immediately they're known by their accent. And that was it. They were looked upon with that country accent. It was assumed they were uneducated. And in their history, only one prophet had ever gone out from the Galilee. That was Jonah. Down in Jerusalem, they wouldn't even admit that. And so you remember that the leaders of religion said to Jesus, "No prophet has ever come from Galilee." Do you remember again that, what was his name? Nathanael said when he heard that Jesus was born in Nazareth, well, of course he wasn't, but he was raised there. And Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Nazareth was part of the Galilee. It was despised, you see. They looked upon these peasants, couldn't talk straight, no education, rather than the southern, educated, sophisticated people who lived in and around Jerusalem. The Galilee. Oh, it was a small, small world. Many people had never been outside it. It revolved around the marketplace, because the big thing was fishing, so they bring the fish in and it's in the marketplace. Have you ever been to one of those places? I find them fascinating. You go and you mingle in the marketplace, which really is the center of town. And you hear these long, intense conversations going on about the weather. Because the weather's terribly important. It's going to determine whether they can go fishing tonight. And then, on the other hand, the wives, who are usually selling the fish, they're discussing whether last night was a good or a bad catch. And then others are haggling about the price of the fish today. While you have fishermen who are still tired from the night, but you hear them telling other fishermen where they found the fish last night. Well, there would be shepherds there, smelling of sheep, talking of the lambs that have just been born. Another one tells of a dangerous journey he had going into the wilderness to find one of the lambs that got lost, you know. And then there's always the latest birth, who gave birth the last week, and then the health of the children, and then the people who died. You know, everybody knows everybody in those places. And so everybody's business is being discussed with great intensity. And there's a smell to those marketplaces. It's in the air, the smell of fish, the smell of farms, smell of sheep. It's the Galilee. They never moved around very much. That was their life. But there were the great vacations every year. Passover, Pentecost, when by caravan, that is, all those who are leaving the Galilee to go down to Jerusalem for the feast, they would go together because of the dangers of traveling alone. And so these caravans of all the families in the Galilee who were going to Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Now, have you ever been over there? And you know, you come down that road and you begin to go up, and then as you reach the head of the hill, you see Jerusalem spread out in front of you. And in those days, the temple was filling your eye. Ah, now we're talking, the temple. Because the temple has been there since forever, it seems, back into the days of Solomon, and before that, David on Mount Zion, and Oh, the great history of the Old Testament. This is the history of this people. And these peasants who sat around an open fire in the winter nights to hear these stories. And now they're going there and they see Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, the temple. In the temple where there's the sacrifices, where there's the choirs of Levites singing praise to God. There you'll find the holy men who sit and talk all day long about the scripture. There you'll see the priests and the Levites hurrying between sacrifices. You'll see the Pharisee who stopped in the middle of the street to give his hour-long prayer. Or he's got his own little group talking to them. Holy men who lived in the temple. You want to smell? Oh, the smell of scrolls. You know what? Smell of books, you know? Smell of all the incense used in the sacrifices and the smell of the sacrifices. When you come down from the Galilee and you walk into all that, it's like going to grandma's house. It's got a certain smell to it. Mm. And you never forget it. This was to these people, that was the smell of God, you see. Jesus, risen from the dead. Now, it would take me another 3 hours with you to really say what I just said. Don't have time for that. I assume you know something of what I mean. Jesus, risen from the dead. The final sacrifice. The reversal of death. The splitting of history. The resurrection. Huh. Surely, when he's risen from the dead, he will set up his headquarters in Jerusalem. Of course. This is the place all the prophecies speak of. This is where the kingdom of God shall surely come at the resurrection. Instead, I can hardly say it. I mean, he said not Jerusalem. He said, I'm not going to meet you in Jerusalem on an ongoing basis. Just met them there the first night after the resurrection. But he said, I'm going to Galilee. And I'm getting out of here as fast as I can. So that I'll meet you there. I won't wait to go with you. I will meet you in the Galilee. He's risen from the dead. And he's going to Galilee. In the body of his resurrection, in which, if you might remember, you could see and then you didn't see, he was there, so there, that he could eat food and drink wine in front of them, so there that there was an indent in the cushions where he'd been sitting. He was there. He said, I'm not a ghost. Handle me, touch me. And then he was gone. That was his resurrection body. And he said, I'll see you in the Galilee. That would leave them speechless. I mean, surely Jerusalem is where it should all begin. Yes, I suppose you could say Jerusalem had done their part. They crucified him. That was religion's answer to when God became flesh. Yeah, but he's the Messiah. They might not know it, but he is. And of course, we believe the Messiah has come to establish his kingdom. And that means he's going to kill all the Romans. And the blood of Romans on the streets of Jerusalem. That's what we're looking for. But he said, I'll see you in the Galilee. My agenda is not yours. What, have you visited Annas and Caiaphas, the leaders of religion in the whole of Israel? The high priests? No. Not interested. You're not interested in the leaders of religion? You're not interested in invading the Roman barracks as a Superman Messiah? No, I'll meet you in Galilee. With all the fisher folk and the shepherds.
Yes.
Do you see what I'm getting at? Yeah, the disciples' mission will start in Jerusalem. But not yet. He will take 6 weeks to establish his resurrection in Galilee. You know, I don't know all of you. I know some of you at one time anyway, not so long ago, you would want to linger in Jerusalem. It's a thing with most believers. We want to be in Jerusalem, you know, in that atmosphere, the smell of holy. But the risen Jesus wants to return to the simple homes,
yes,
of simple peasants and the smell of fish. He wants to go back to the place of work. Same old, the daily grind. Listening to the children playing in the streets. He doesn't appear to be interested too much in the manicured hands of priests and holy men who are turning the scroll of scripture. Mm-hmm. He's more interested in dirty, careworn hands pulling in the nets for sheep. Mm-hmm. Shepherds who have just come freshly from handling sheep. Not the smell of incense, but of bread baking in the open fire of the little houses. And the smell of fish on the young men who are fishing all night. Risen from the dead, Jesus tells us plainly, underline this in red, write it in purple, Jesus is plainly stating his resurrection presence is in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. It's in the to-do list that harassed housewives have to work out, taking the kids to the game and the PTA. He says, I'll meet you there. The sound of greedy, complaining people haggling over the price of a lamb, mm-hmm, or the price of fish for dinner. It's the endless small talk about the weather and the latest birth in the village. Endless talk, small talk. The trouble they had on the lake last night, that the men told their wives and their wives talking about it all day next. We want Bible study. We want praise and worship. We want endless conventions. That's surely where God meets us. But Jesus said, I'm giving you an urgent invitation to meet me in the Galilee. And I said, he was so intent on getting there that he said, you'll join me there. He didn't say, I'll hang around and wait to go with you. He was already there. Okay. He's already there. And he said, we have to join him. Well, where? Galilee's, it's not an enormous place, but it's big enough. You know, I mean, if you take in the lake and you go around the lake, have you been there? You know, Bethsaida, and then you come to Capernaum, and then all these myriad of other little towns, crossroads up in the hills and around. Where on earth? You said, meet me in the Galilee. It's almost like saying, I'll meet you in Texas. I mean, where? Give me an address. Where are you going to meet us? Yeah, well, maybe not an address. Where's the location? All Jesus is saying, go to the Galilee and do what you do in Galilee. Fish, nets, marketplace, mm-hmm, calling out how much your fish costs after you caught it last night. Do you get what I'm saying? Jesus is risen from the dead. He has split history in two. Mm. And he says, go back and fish. Go, I'll meet you in the Galilee. Just go there and do your stuff. Mm. I really think we should start, you know, having a massive meeting in Jerusalem to tell everybody you've risen from the dead. And he said, no, go fishing in Galilee. Go fishing? I mean, good grief, are you... This isn't a time to sit down with some grizzled old man who knows about the weather. I don't care. I don't care if it snows. I don't care. You have risen from the dead. We've got to... No. Go and do what you do. You want full-time ministry. Go to the Galilee.
Yes.
That's where you'll discover the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Remember, Peter sort of caught on. Some people think that he was backsliding, but then they appear to get backsliding in everywhere they can. But Peter said, do you remember, he said to the others, I'm going fishing. Well, actually, he was doing exactly what Jesus told him to do. Go fishing. I don't know how much he understood, but he was saying, don't sit here sitting on your hands. I'm going back to the Galilee. I'm getting on with life. Go and do your thing that to you looks so unspiritual, and that's because you're still in a separated mode. You've got that devilish thing called secular, and you think when you go fishing, then, well, I'm just doing my secular work. I can't wait to get spiritual and go to Jerusalem. No. You see, that originated in the fall, when we got all the wrong idea. We thought of spiritual as being sort of totally disconnected from this world. You know the people. If you wear clothes that even look as if they're early 1900s, then you're that's the worldly. That's worldly. You see. You can't be part of the human race. Can't drink this, can't go there, can't eat that, can't do this. You're always separated all over the place. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not the other. Whereas Jesus, who is God inside and one with our flesh,
yes,
God met us inside our humanity, real humanity. There's no separation with him. When he was a carpenter, he was still God in the flesh. Mm-hmm. When he ate breakfast, he was God in the flesh. Everything he touched, he was God in the flesh. Go to a wedding. And of course, you might not realize it, but you couldn't go to a wedding those days without joining in the dances that could involve the whole village as you whirled around and jumped in the air, laughed and backslapped and congratulated the bride and groom, drank the wine. Yes, Jesus was there. Can you imagine being at a wedding where it's Jesus who grabs your hand and says, come on, let's do this conga dance with me. I'm being serious here, you see. We say, no, that's the world. Come on, join the human race in the resurrection of Jesus. He has raised us back to this unified existence where God fills all things, and we are filled with the fullness of God. Get on with life. That's what Jesus was saying. Go back to the Galilee. That's where you'll understand the resurrection. But as you go back, be alert. That's the point. I don't give you an address. I don't give you a location as to where I'll be. Be on the alert. Watch. Listen. Somewhere in the middle of all those boats that are parked along the shore, in the middle of all the fish in the marketplace, in the office, sitting down and talking to weather-beaten old men, I'll meet you there. I'll meet you in the Galilee, and you'll understand the resurrection. See, you thought all those places, it's a waste of time. Who cares who got born this week? Who cares what the price of fish is? Who cares about the weather coming in? What was it in Genesis? God was in this place and I knew it not. You're looking in the wrong place if you're looking in Jerusalem.
Yes.
Yes, I know. That's where the scrolls of the Bible are. That's where the choirs are. That's where praise and worship is. But the essence of the resurrection is in the Galilee. It's a wonderful attitude to have, that when wherever you are, whatever instant of life you are in, that's the will of God for you. Don't tell me it's the will of God that you go to Timbuktu to preach the gospel. Yes, you might well do that. But how about as you're sitting down in IHOP and the waitress who's serving you, that's the will of God for you right now. Just to be Christ to her.
Yes. See?
In the smell of this world, that's where you're supposed to be. He says, you will see me in the Galilee. The word see there is a very distinct word in the original language. It's not just, I see it. It means something has appeared to you. It's interesting, the word is used a lot concerning the resurrection of Jesus. You weren't expecting it. And then you saw it. It means wide-eyed. You're baffled. You're staring with wide eyes of wonder. To look at it another way, it's revelation seeing. That is, the Holy Spirit has pulled the curtains away from the window and the sun comes shining in. That's revelation. You see. And yet, as you see, you have the feeling that he, the one that you now see, has been here all the time. You're a little confused and you look around and say, did anyone else see what I just saw? If that's the kind, do you understand that? You see something. If that's what happened to many of you when you understood what we were saying and you went back to your church and they all looked at you as if you were mad, and you said, doesn't anyone else see what I'm seeing? That's this word, you see. Okay, you're going to see him. When? That's the point. You see, when am I going to see him? This is an invitation to meet him in the Galilee, but is there a date on the invitation? Is there a time for this revelation seeing? See, the trouble is, if it is trouble, it's trouble with my logical brain. He's always with us. He said that, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he's always with us, but these moments of seeing, when you understand clearly, when you know that you know he is alive and is speaking by his Spirit within you, they happen without warning. We and many denominations, many churches make it their full-time job to try and make that happen. Especially, and I'm speaking from the old charismatic movement days, when that did happen a lot, and then we had that whole wave of persons, I hesitate to call them pastors, but they wanted to make it happen. They wanted to take control of God, and so we'll sing the same song and expect something to happen like it did last time. Or I'm going to lay hands on someone and they will be overcome by the Spirit like it happened last time. And if it doesn't happen, I'll make it happen. You know what? Ever been laid hands and someone pushed you over? No. I'm sorry. There's no formula for this. I have no control over God and I don't want it, for he is God. There is no spell to conjure him at our bidding. You can't pin him down. Get used to his continual being with us. And when he who knows his own schedule, and he knows when we need that a seeing, he reveals himself, and there he is, right in the middle of this world situation. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when they did go fishing in Peter's boat up on the Galilee? And they fished all night and caught nothing. And so, as usual, on the seashore, as they're coming back in the early mists of the morning, there would be the buyers, the people who bought your fish and sold it in the marketplace. And so they see this figure through the mist as they're coming back to the beach from out on the water. And they hear the voice, "Have you caught any fish?" Well, that's what buyers would always say. And Peter starts to say, no, caught nothing tonight. And John had a seeing. And he realized the figure on the beach. He turns to Peter, he said, "It is the Lord." And immediately Peter strips off his fishing gear and jumped into the water. He had business to do with Jesus, you see. Peter needed that because he's the one that had betrayed with words, denied he ever knew him. And when he was risen from the dead, the first reaction he had would be, I can't face him. But Jesus specifically said to the woman, "Go back and tell them I'm risen, and tell Peter too."
Yes.
Well, here it is, in the Galilee, on a fishing expedition gone bad. There he is on the shore, and Peter jumps into the water and swims to the shore. I don't know what they talked about. That's private. Because I have to wonder, he was cooking breakfast, so he'd got fish somewhere. And where'd he get the wood from? Where'd he get the fire from? Well, that's another story. But he met with Peter and then with all of them. For 6 weeks, that continued to happen. Never knew when, never knew the date, never knew the time, but he would suddenly be there. It was practice for life in the Spirit. For the Holy Spirit is Jesus coming to us.
Yes.
You've read Ephesians 1 through 3. That's a, it would take you to the heights. And the center of it is you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And it's been God's plan since before the fall of the world. And so on and so on. And it ends up in chapter 3 by saying you are filled with the fullness of God. And we can hardly get our breath at that point. And it suddenly, from chapter 4 through chapter 6, tells us how that works out. And it's all about family and going to work and how you treat your wife and how you treat your children and what you do when the pressure's on. It's amazing. Without chapter 4, don't bother to read chapters 1 through 3. Because that all hangs in a vacuum. Chapter 4 through 6 is your Galilee. That's where life really takes place. It's how it is. It's interesting that in chapter 10 of Acts, Peter is telling the people, well, telling Cornelius, that he was risen from the dead. And he said, and Peter makes this, and it is his sort of, "I'm going to prove to you he really is risen from the dead." And what is that? What proof is that? That proof is that we ate and we drank with him for 6 weeks. That is, this time in the Galilee is proof. That's God's proof that he's risen from the dead. Not that he crushed the world under an angry foot. This isn't that there was a sudden bloodbath and he's now proclaimed the king of the world. No, and there's a whole bunch of people today who are still waiting for that to happen. You'd better join us in the Galilee, I think. Because, no, that's what they expected him to do, and he didn't do it. Of course, some people today say that Jesus failed, and he was sort of running with his tail between his legs to Galilee. No, he went there as Lord and Christ, the great Messiah, who had accomplished every prophecy of the Old Testament. But he never intended to crush anybody underfoot. He never intended to have a kingdom that was of this world, that operated out of the government offices of this world. You'll find him in the Galilee, eating and drinking, giving them proof upon proof upon proof that he was there, he was real, he was not a ghost. Of course, that also does away with secular. You don't have a secular job, I'm sorry, you don't. It just depends where you are, and that's where you meet with Jesus, who is alive. You meet him in what, in our blindness and in our belief of the satanic lie, we call it secular. It's just the daily grind, but no, that is where you meet with him, and you are walking in the Spirit, and you are in full-time ministry, and you are speaking the words of God wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And so we're called to the Galilee, your Galilee, my Galilee, for the revelation of God in the real world of our little lives. Well, that's something that I trust will really bless your lives at this resurrection spring season.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it's all about. It's not about rabbits, not about eggs, all that comes from ancient paganism in Europe. No, this is about a living Jesus.
Yes.
And it's not remembering him in the pages of a book with old photographs, you know, long time ago. No, right here in 2023, we see the living Jesus in the depth of our spirit eyes, and our lives are forever transformed. In 5 minutes, we can learn more than 50 years in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're called to the Galilee. That's where he meets us, the revelation of God in the real world of our little lives. The blessing of the Lord is with you. Well, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we thank you for all of your gifts and offerings that make it all possible.
Yes.
We really do. I can't say that enough. And so I bless you in all your giving and receive it from your hands, from the Lord Jesus himself.
Yes.
And so I trust we'll see you somewhere on the road.
Yes.
And able to hug you and know you face to face. But till the next time, the blessing of the Lord is with you.
Amen. Amen.